Hello.
Hi, this is Rob. Who's on?
This is Kay.
Hey, Kay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
So did Trent give you a little brief update as to what's going on here with us?
I heard there were some changes.
Yeah, we had a team member resign, but he wasn't one of the members who participated in the calls.
Okay.
But he was preventing one of the other team members from participating in the calls, and now we've got him more involved. So.
Well, good.
That is.
I guess that is that good?
It's a good change. It is a good change. Yes.
So who left and who will be participating now?
So Mike was the team member who left, and
okay.
The person that you have not yet met who will be joining us is John Jennings.
Okay.
And
we
do have a new
Canner?
Mike Canner, yes.
Yeah.
And we do have another team member who is basically straight out of college. She's straight out of college. And her name is Taryn. She is off today, but she is, you know, going to be part of this whole process with us going forward.
Great.
Oh, someone else.
Okay.
Hey, Rob.
On, please.
Trent.
Trent, hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. So there's been some change, huh?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. But we're going to use it as positive, Rob, because there's only one thing we can do, is just move forward.
It's always positive.
Yeah. And what we want to focus on now is, you know, really the five-star model, and then we'll back into everything else. And we may even go back and, you know, start from the beginning again, because a couple of members haven't been through this. So I might just ratchet it back and start all over again. But in the interim,
okay.
We're focusing on the five-star model as kind of a team, you know, working together, and that's something I wanted to, you know, focus on today a little bit.
I guess from a point of view of a team, Kay was mentioning that the person that left wasn't participating in this, so was not part of the five-star model.
Right.
So maybe maybe from that point of view, it's a good thing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah.
He actively opposed it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It's disappointing, but.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's always...
Change is hard for some people. And, and they're sometimes they aren't as much of a team player as you anticipated that they would be.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, as you say, that can be eventually a good thing, but it's hard in the beginning. The transition is difficult.
Yeah.
So... do you have new roles and responsibilities then, or, you know?
Presented on Friday, Rob, you know, here are the roles, you know, the five-star roles. And I kind of know where everybody is, but I don't want to force people into those roles. And I said we were going to talk about it on the call today and kind of walk through the roles. I don't want to force anybody to do anything that they don't want to do. So we have enough talent. We have a lot of kind of willing team members now to really get things done. And I think that, you know, since we have the talent in place, we can actually get out there and assign the roles and really go out and gather assets. But we got to get all the core competencies covered. And I got a little confused on the brand versus service, which I think I figured that out. But like I said, I don't want to force people into these roles, but I kind of know who fits where. We're going to have this call with you today, talk about the roles, talk about how we can market with those roles, how we can function in those roles. And then we're going to, Friday, come to the table, and everybody's going to sort of talk about where they think they fit. And I think it's going to probably fit where I believe it fits and where they believe it fits. And I think we're going to then have those roles assigned and focus on the five-star model and then going out with the a supernova service model and going out and, you know, running the business that way, running it like a business, not haphazard, not just calling it a business, really running it in this manner. So if you don't mind, just run through kind of an overview. I think new on the call who you wouldn't know, probably have we have Taryn, who's a new FAA, and then John Jennings, who has done a lot of our PM. He has his own relationships as well. He's done a lot of our PM and done a lot of our, which is portfolio management, trading, and you know, really the past few weeks we've been just in the Jerry Maguire world trying to call people and keep in touch. So I'm just hoping you could kind of walk through the five-star model a little bit and
talk about why
you think it's powerful.
Well, it is powerful because it incorporates the entire business, and it, you know, people said two things to me: get me organized and keep me organized. And the second thing was help me to grow and then keep me growing. And with that in mind, the key is structure all the way from who's doing the planning to are we doing 12-4-2 with every client. I mean, the whole process is interdependent, and that's the genius of teams, and it's the, you know, it's the tragedy of teams, because if you're not leveraging each other, you know, you're really wasting huge opportunities. So the good news is teams really work when they function really well, and they really are a problem when they don't. So, you know, it's like a restaurant business. It's like any business. A lot of them fail because they fail for a lot of reasons, you know, and too numerous to go over right now. But the idea is that we built the five-star model, frankly, originally as a coaching model, because we had to coach you guys with some structure if we were going to coach you as a team. So we decided that there were five pieces to a team: planning, implementation of that planning process, brand management, which was really originally service, marketing, and leadership. And leadership was the most important of the five stars, because everything is dependent on the leader maintaining the vision, the purpose, the mission, and the accountability. You know, if you don't have a vision of where you're going, it's hard to get people excited. And if you don't have accountability, everybody will become disparate and go in their own direction.
Yep.
So with that in mind, you can build a business plan directly from the five-star model without reinventing it, anything. So, you know, with a one-page set of objectives and timelines, each of the five-star managers can run their particular area efficiently and effectively and reach their goals that they want to achieve in the 1, 3, and 5 year period. So everything begins with the plan, just like it does with a client. So planning is the beginning of the team. Without planning, we don't have an understanding of each client. And so the person running the planning is really critical, and that is an ongoing job by itself. Now, that doesn't mean, keep in mind that just because you're doing planning doesn't mean you don't do other things. You're in charge of planning, but everybody on the team may be a planner. So we have a new person that doesn't know how to put a hold.
Sheila, can you tell us if John has put us on hold?
There we
Sorry
go.
About that.
Okay. That's okay. So each person has, again, the accountability for themselves and to the leader. So the role of planning is to be in charge of planning, not to do all the planning, but they're the one responsible for setting the goals of how many plans are we going to do? Are we going to have every client have a plan? When are we going to upgrade the plans? When are we going to redo plans? And so implementation of the planning process falls to another member of the team, and that is because that's typically the person that's in charge of the investment process and the liability management process. So asset and liability management, and they're responsible to make sure that the plan gets implemented. Now, that doesn't mean that they do all the implementation. It's just that it's best to have one person in charge of, for example, the investment process. So it's consistent. So you supernova the investment process, just like you supernova the planning process. You don't have 15 different plans. You have one plan, you have one investment process. You have different asset allocations for different and so forth. You know what I'm talking about. So you simplify it. You don't have 360 different mutual funds. I mean, that's what we find when we, you know, when we first investigated this, that people really didn't have a consistent process for even for investments. Brand management, we called it brand management because the service is more, that person's job is more than simply supernova service. It's also in charge of operations, and it's in charge of making sure that the brand is protected. And just think about it this way. If your brand is determined not by what your best client says, but by what your worst client says, then everybody would get great service. Everybody would get the same service. So that's the basic premise of Supernova, is that we're going to, no matter who you are, you're going to have Supernova service. So that's the service manager is in charge of that. Sometimes this can be split between two different service people. It can, and one would then be in charge of processing and solving problems. So one would be typically an operations manager, and the other one would be, we call them director of operations and director of service. And they could all be under one or the other, or have a separate person as brand manager. Some people put an FA in charge of that and then have support staff working for them. Other people put the support staff in charge. It's up to you. It depends on leadership and who you think has a passion for that particular area of the business. Marketing, and this is, again, each one of these, the idea is that we put people in charge of these that have a passion for it, for that particular area. We want people to do more of what they love to do rather than getting to do more of what they hate. So if somebody loves to be out of the office, loves to market, loves to bring in business as a rainmaker, that's the person that should be in charge of marketing. But they have to be, you know, competent as an administrator, because there is some administration in terms of accountability, because they're the one holding the whole team accountable. As with planning, just because you're in charge of it doesn't mean you do it all. Everybody may on the team have a marketing responsibility, just like everybody may have a planning responsibility. So that's marketing, and there's, you know, the marketing, just for reference points, the Supernova multiplier is a perfect way of saying, are we using all the tools in the toolbox under marketing? Because that book is designed to help you multiply the leverage that Supernova service brings you. And then the leader's responsibility is to develop, train, grow the people first, and then grow and develop the business second. The idea is that if you get the people thing right, you'll get the rest of it correct. So it's overall personal development as well as growth of the practice. Now there's more
Hold
details.
On.
Yeah.
On hold. Whoever's out
sorry.
There, please don't put us on hold.
Okay, sorry.
Please don't
that.
Put us on hold.
John didn't,
okay.
John didn't know he was supposed to be on the call. So
Sheila, you didn't send him the call?
You're welcome.
What's that?
You did not send John the call?
No, I thought he had it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, keep going, Rob.
I'm on.
All right,
this
so, you know, hey, John, welcome. There's
Thanks,
more.
Rob.
Obviously, there's more to this than, you know, under each one of these roles and responsibilities. Director of Implementation, for example, is also in charge of the 24-month calendar and the implementation of that calendar. They're really, when you think of it, they're the training officer for the team. They're the person that prepares and makes sure that everybody is ready when that monthly initiative is undertaken. It may, you know, we call it the 24-month calendar because it takes into account 2 months rather than 1 month. Typically, we like to have initiatives last 2 months because there's a training component in preparation for that month, and then we want to have some follow-through time to make sure that we implement it. Now, one of the big productivity results of Supernova is that 24-month calendar. So make sure that that becomes an integral part of what you're doing. You know, Trent, you and I know, and the rest of the guys that have been around for a while, when we get committed to an initiative in terms of communicating with our clients and training our clients and coaching our clients on a subject like debt, we'll do more business because we bring it up. And so each one of these initiatives has a business component to it. So we're not just simply contacting our clients and educating our clients. We're also giving them the opportunity to fulfill many of the things that they haven't gotten around to when they did their financial plan. So again, it all comes together and develops more business. Now, what we found is that there's a couple things that make this thing really go. And one is the director of marketing conducts a meeting on Monday. And at that meeting, you focus on the spreadsheet, which I know we went over, the basic premise is that not only are we going over marketing ideas, but we're actually going to follow through and talk about what's our spreadsheet for prospects, clients, prospect customers, clients, advocates, and ambassadors. How does
you're
that look?
You're talking about the pipeline spreadsheet?
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pipeline spreadsheet, yeah. So that's the Monday meeting. You can cover lots of activity that went into getting people as prospects, and that's all fine and well. But I think the fun of that meeting is to report progress in terms of getting people to become prospects, to get a new list of suspects, to move a prospect to the client, or customer ranks and moving a customer to a client. And all that is fun on that Monday meeting. And then the Friday meeting is the meeting where it can be Thursday afternoon if people, you know, are running around on Friday or taking early time off or whatever they're doing on Friday. Some people like that, but on Thursday afternoon, the idea is that everybody reports in on the five-star initiative. So how are you doing that week versus your goals for the month versus your goals for the quarter and the year? So you know, if it's the director of planning, how are we doing versus our goals? We got two plans done this week that's right on target with our plan, and so forth. You know, director of implementation would talk about next month's initiative, what we're going to do for training, how we're doing on this month's initiative, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the director of marketing,
You have full teams implement this as their operating model, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's if you read the Supernova Multiplier, which I recommend everybody get, you know, we probably talked about this, but getting the Supernova Multiplier and, you know, getting it on tape, you know, the audio version of it and listening to it every day. Listen to each chapter once a day for 5 days and then move on to the next chapter. And gradually you'll get this stuff so that you know it better than I do. And that's the idea. If you know the material, you got to know the material. You got to know the words. You're going to be the director of marketing. You got to know all the initiatives. And you need to know how they work. And I give you tons of information, examples, stories in each chapter on each one of the marketing ideas. But I also have a whole chapter on this five-star model, and it'll make it very clear what your role and responsibility is in that chapter. So you won't, you know, you'll know it. You'll just know it. That's all.
Rob?
So, yeah.
Two questions that you can, you know, plug into at any point. Number one, do you think that any kind of personality profile, whether it's DISC or anything else, is appropriate and necessary at this point? And number two, will you please give us a two-minute version of the guy who packs your parachute story and the importance of every dadgum person on the team, please?
Okay. Well, as a guy that had his parachute packed, I will tell you it's critical that everybody on the team understand with a passion how critical they are to the team, and that we never take any role or responsibility as being more important than another role. I mean, we have different talents, we have different skills, but in the Navy, when I was flying, the guy that packed my chute was absolutely critical, as was the guy that took care of the engine and the guy that made sure that everything in the plane was working. I could do an inspection of my parachute and inspection of my plane, but in the end, you know, they were the ones that kept me alive. And yeah, I might have been the one that was up in the air doing the flying, but everybody on the ground was critical and as critical to me. I mean, some of the greatest stories I ever heard of was the bravery of the people on the ground and the amazing things that they did in order to keep Navy pilots flying. And it's critical. I think you just have to – Larry Wilson may have said it best, that leaders – managers get things done through people, and leaders get people done through business. So the idea is that our role and responsibility as a leader is to be a servant leader and to develop our people and, frankly, to love our people and love what we do and get them to love what they do as much as we do. So people will thrive in an environment of support where they really feel like somebody cares about them. So that's critical. What was the other piece, John?
It's Stephen. The importance that you see or do not see with regard to using DISC or any other psychological profile before, during, or after we do the roles and responsibilities.
I mean, we did all of that, and I think it's, I think you, you know, intuitively know what you prefer, and I think people need to raise their hand and say, you know, I just really prefer this. So I think it's, you can do a Lefton, you can do a Myers-Briggs, you can do a, you know, there's a bunch of different psychological tests to tell people what they're most suitable for. And I do think those are great. I don't give those, but I think they're fine to understand, you know, what you're best suited for. But I think people intuitively sort of know where they best fit on the team, and if not, tell people, this is what I'm really good at, this is what I love, I hate this, you know. You know, I was always a salesman, you know, that was what was best for me. I was terrible at paperwork. I was awful, and I hated it, and so I knew how dependent I was on my team, just like I was dependent on my mechanic and you know, the folks on the flight line. So it, you know, it was simple for me. Maybe Stephen, it's, you know, you would like that, but sure.
No, I think what you're saying is that that's something we can do down the line as we grow together.
Yeah, I think it's great fun. I mean, I always enjoyed those things, but I think in terms of roles and responsibilities for the team at this point, I think it's good for people to understand psychology and how it affects other people. And I think you can read and understand that, but, you know, but the power of the team, you know, they say the best teams are people that are very different, but communicate very well. The worst teams are teams that are very different and don't communicate. So the biggest challenge that I've ever had with great team, with talented people, is the failure to communicate. They just assumed everybody was doing their job and they went off and did their job. And as a leader, we can't do that. As a leader, we to make sure, you know, the team is with us.
Yeah, what I was thinking, Rob, is, you know, we go through kind of a cycle with the core companies of the five star. You know, leader speaks at the beginning of the month, and then the next week, you know, the vice president of marketing and will run the agenda the following week, and then the following week, the, you know, but everybody reports every week, but we pass
right.
the baton to allow everybody to have ownership, everybody to have a little bit of leadership and some pride in their in their goals and their achievements and their metrics and bringing them to the table. But I mean, we're going to stick to, you know, having meetings and working as a team. And you know, we've kind of had to put marketing aside, unfortunately, for a little period of time, but you know, it's kind of what the most fun that part of the business for someone like me, it's hard to put that aside because there's a lot of great talented people out there I'd like to be bringing to the team, but I'm slowing down the pipeline just to make sure we get a good structure in place so that when we go out, we're ready to bring them in and we're ready to bring people in as a group. And I think it's nice if the whole group's looking at an individual in a case, bringing it in, and everybody's on board with that. I think it's just a nice feeling that we can put in place. And instead of being, you know, in your own little island or your own little spoke where you run things by yourself, we're really trying to pull things together as a group and win together and lose together. So
it's really important.
What do you think of the core competency reporting from week to week? Is it every week each one of those divisions reports, or how does it? You know, how do you?
I think what you're doing is giving. That's kind of the mastermind format, you know, where everybody
right.
reports in on something they're doing well, and then they report in on a challenge that they're having. That's great. And then one person kind of reports in on how he's doing overall and then kind of leads the meeting from that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the meetings
right.
to go too long. You want them to be, you know, I almost think that standing up is a great way to do it for both the Monday meeting and the Friday meeting, because I think we get too settled in. We get to thinking this is going to be a long meeting. Standing up
mm-hmm.
makes people feel like they can participate more. It's really interesting, the dynamics of a stand-up meeting versus a sit-down meeting. A sit-down meeting, nobody talks. Stand-up meeting, everybody feels like they can talk because it's sitting around. It feels like they're sitting around a bar or something.
Right.
And so I think that that's one of the secrets of probably the way I would run it. Is I would adopt that kind of model where everybody feel like this is going to last 15, 20 minutes and we're all going to report quick and we're going to be out of here. Not for the sense of urgency, but for the sense of I'm not settled in here for a long meeting. Oh, damn, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Keep that out of the formula. So I think, mm-hmm. you know, that will keep it more fun for everybody if they feel like it's less formal and they can shout out something that they're thinking about. So good format.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's good.
Other questions? I think from a leadership point, I mean, each one of the the other thing on the five-star model, here's one of the tricks to it. Use the five-star model to showcase your team. I know we talked about this.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to show off to a center of influence, your whole team, they will be proud of the fact that they get to meet the center of influence and show off themselves and their responsibilities. So I think you can do that. Now, here would be my goal. I would be so proud of this that I would take it to management and I'd volunteer to have the whole team speak at some kind of leadership development or team meeting or marketing, you know, just a meeting that the firm was going to conduct, because that gives your team a chance to showcase yourself internally, which is actually putting more pressure on yourself than externally, because, you know, it's harder to brag about yourselves internally. You got to really be the real deal. And I think that's a great, people say, well, I don't want to bother, you know, why should I help them? And the answer is because it'll make you guys better. That's the answer. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Rob, when we talked about this, the five-star model within our team, we thought everyone's going to have a primary role, but that there would also be sort of a backup or secondary role for each person.
Sure.
Does that make sense? I mean, I think we can't just focus on one thing. There's too much going on. And
right.
Have you seen other teams?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you the analogy, too. When I was in the Navy, we were naval officers first. So if you were on the carrier, you stood duty of being a naval officer on the ship. Mm-hmm. But that was your primary duty. Your secondary duty was to be a pilot. Okay?
Yep.
So you may be an FA, but your primary duty is to be in charge of marketing.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, that's the way I would think about it. And that's the way the best teams do it. They really make this really important.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I think it's the most important thing we have going, moving forward as a team, is making sure these roles are the absolute, we have the absolute best people in these roles doing the absolute best they can. And I think then we can really, it's going to be pretty hard to compete with somebody that has all these roles filled and are accountable to the roles and getting things done. It's going to be pretty hard to compete with this team overall if we have each person doing what they love to do and focusing on making sure that what they love to do is done the best that they absolutely possibly can. I have a hard time believing that if teams go through this process, that it's anything short of, you know, just spectacular results.
Well, just think about presenting to somebody with $50 million, right? You bring in the five-star team and present that team to them. There's not a sense of, you know, what happens, Trent, when you're gone. You know, none of that. This is a wonderful operation that is organized down to the nth degree, and everybody knows their roles and responsibilities, and I'm going to get taken care of in a completely different way than I would be by another team. And, you know, focusing on what value that, you know, each one of these roles, and I've done this, and I can do it the next time with you, is to say, okay, what's the benefit to the client of each one of these roles and responsibilities? Now, you can do it. It's common sense. But that's where I would take it. You know, when we used to do selling skills, one of the things was establishing the rationale for the call that made it. So that's what you want to do when you stand up. Why do I have this role and responsibility? And then what's in it for me as a client? What's the benefit to me as a client of you doing this work and specializing in doing it effectively? Well, I will tell you, I mean, just take planning, right? If you have somebody that is really good at planning and has an organized structure and a calendar for each client, then there's no question that plan will be updated on a regular basis systematically. I mean, just like 12-4-2 gets done, planning will get done. The benefits to them of making sure that the investment process is run professionally rather than winging it. It changes the whole dynamics of the performance of a client. So each one of these has a huge benefit to the client. If they take a second and think about it, they'll be very impressed and feel much more comfortable that this you guys have got the structure in place to take care of them in kind of the ultimate way.
What about other, like, so I think, anybody have questions about the role, any of the roles that they look through?
Yeah, I've got one on leadership. Rob, you said marketing, you said get out of the office, bring business to the office, have some administrative accountability. Leadership, I kind of got lost. Develop, grow, and help people work together, but I think you had another element that I missed.
Well, it's very important that the leader be the chief visionary for the team, and that vision can create motivation. So where are we now? Where are we going to be? And then what's in it for me? That's a really important part of, you know, I had the pleasure of hearing a national sales director really get up and create a vision of where the future was going to be and what was in it for the firm and what were the dramatic changes that they're going to make in order for the team to move forward. That's always exciting. I mean, that's where you create the excitement for the team, and they walk away going, wow, this is going to be fun. Where it's just work, there's no fun in that. You know, that's just work. So you have to create a vision of the future. Where are we going to be in 3 years? Where are we going to be in 5 years? And then what does that mean for me? A purpose. You've got to have a purpose. You know, what's our purpose beyond making money? What are we here for? You know, what are we trying to do in terms of change the world, change humanity, change, you know, help people beyond simply and making sure that they can retire comfortably. You know, do we have a bigger purpose? And our, you know, if you want to, you can create a mission statement based on your values. Those are things that the leader should do so that you can explain yourself as a team consistently, and everybody on the team can articulate those things very clearly. You know, our purpose was to release the human potential by choosing growth over fear, and by so doing, help others to do the same. So we understood at that was when I was the regional director at Merrill Lynch. That was the region's purpose. Now you think, wow, that's kind of crazy. That's, what does that have to do with investments? It had nothing to do with investment. It had to do with helping people to be better at what they did and to kind of realize their capability, which was what my job was as a leader, was not to, yes, the byproduct was more profits, but my purpose was to release the human potential. And what's the biggest detriment to human potential? Fear. So by choosing growth over fear, I could help people to grow, take risk, and do more of what they were good at. And then our mission was to boldly go where no person's gone before and joyfully share the map. Now, that's very simple, but it took into account most of our values. So boldly was, you know, risk-taking, boldly go where no person's gone before, more risk-taking, creative, let's be different. That's why we developed Supernova. Boldly go where no person's gone before and joyfully share the map. That basically, how did we get there? Share what we found and help others to get to where we were. So it was a very others-focused kind of, and it motivated people. They were became very generous with their time and effort, and therefore they, you know, when to give is the greatest gift you can ever have, because it brings you the most joy. Joy in life comes from giving, not from taking. So when you help people, you help other people, even your competitors in some cases, your own associates at your firm, and that's why I never hold back on anything with Supernova. Somebody, one of my competitors calls me and asks me about something, I'll tell them everything. I write everything into that book, The Supernova Multiplier. Every secret is in there that I teach you guys. Mm-hmm. And the reason is our purpose at Supernova is to improve the client experience worldwide. That's all. That's how simple it is. Improve the client experience worldwide. Okay? And
Rob,
I mean, that's the kind of simple purpose you guys could have. I mean, just think about it. That would be pretty nice, right?
Yeah. Two things, Rob. One thing I'm thinking of doing is just setting aside, you know, $36,000 so that we can, every month in our meeting, decide where, you know, what charity we're going to sponsor, what event we're going to sponsor, and give $3,000 to as a group. I'm thinking that keeps us involved in the community. We can't give it outright, but we can give it to, you know, their annual gala or whatever. I'm thinking about just doing that as a matter of course, so that we're giving back together and we're working on, you know, creating a brand as that, you know, that group in town that gives, you know, gives back. But to that, you know, we've always been too, so we were Leda Cantor Group before, now we're Leda Les Cantor. So there's no Cantor anymore, it's the Leda Group, which, you know, I have an ego, but not that big of an ego. So the your years and dealing with teams, you know, I'm kind of iffy on, you know, sort of a team name, but what's your thoughts on, you know, a team name versus, you know, individuals' names as, you know, as part of the wealth management group or something like that? Just interested in your thought.
Well, it would depend, Trent. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. And you've got some brand value in your name. So I don't discount that. When I was going to run, you know, start Supernova Consulting Group, I didn't want it to be Rob Knapp Consulting because I wanted to have a legacy that lived on after me. I didn't want it to die with Rob Knapp. If Rob Knapp wasn't there, I retire. Somebody, what value does Rob Knapp Consulting have? So that was clearly a purpose. Now, had I been a financial advisor with Rob Knapp and somebody else, maybe the name Rob Knapp had enough brand value, it would be worth it to keep that. So that's the... Otherwise, I'd tell you to use a different brand, but, you know, unless it's really clever, some name, you know, Vero Beach Consulting may not, you know, have any real value.
Right. A lot of them sound like you're an insurance agent. I mean, if you throw a name on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's up to you guys. It's a good, you know, some things
problem.
Don't have to be decided, you know, immediately. Some do, but you know, you can kick it around. That's where creativity comes from. And I always
we're pretty well into that process already.
Okay, good.
My concern about the Leda Group, I don't have a problem with Trent's name. It's a perfectly good name, but it used to be everybody knew the team as Leda Kanner, and now it just seems like Leda minus Kanner, or you know, Leda minus something, and I just don't want that to be the lingering impact of, you know, changing the name to just one name from two names.
Mm-hmm.
The other aspect is, do we want to live in Vero, you know, exclusively, or do we want to have a province that expands, you know, beyond just the Treasure Coast, or if we want to be in Vero, okay, well.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
You guys kicked that around. That's a creative, you know, opportunity for you guys to, you know.
We'll work on it Friday. Yep.
Sorry about that. I'm not going to jump in.
It is a very personal thing, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's very personal.
It's like naming your
and
baby.
You gotta, yeah, it is. It's his, you know, I mean, it's his baby. And you know, again, it has some value. In terms of the money, okay, I would turn that over to the director of marketing and say your budget is $36,000. There's a chapter on community involvement, you know, become an expert on that chapter and get back to us with recommendations.
Okay.
Okay. And the answer that the chapter will tell you is, you know, you want people involved in boards of directors. And one of the ways that you bring them credibility is, besides their skill, talent, and ability to raise money, is to give some money. So it's kind of empty to give money without having somebody personally involved. So I, you know, when
right.
you follow.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
But I think it's very generous to fund that. And then I think you can, you know, you can always put the arm on the office and the firm and other things when they see that you're actually stepping up and giving. Don't let that, you know, go unnoticed. And make sure that if there is money available, you get your piece of it.
Okay.
That's leverage. And you got an opportunity, Trent. I mean, you've taken a little bit of a setback. That would be a good story to tell in terms of, hey, let's put some money into making this, you know, giving us a fresh start here and kicking some ass.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
it's all good. It's all good stuff. I'm gonna like circle back around with you, Rob, and maybe consider doing, you know, in a couple of weeks, maybe going back to the beginning and going through the, because we are going to be segregating a whole new book. Maybe going back and changing up the, you know, extending it beyond where we are. And maybe a quick refresher course running through some things again. So do I talk to Lori about that, or who would I talk to?
I would just say that this is what I just did with another – I've done this several times with teams that brought on new members and started over.
Yeah.
It's basically do it every 2 weeks for a year, and we start at the beginning and go through – you know, we go through, but we can use the book, The Supernova Multiplier, as kind of our – classic, but then you guys kind of run it. And one of the things we could do would be to give each director kind of a, you know, every 2 weeks, a different one would have a chance to get on there and ask questions and kind of be coached in their particular area, you know, and
okay.
it's really fun. Most, you know, a lot of it becomes marketing questions, but there are, you know, happy to handle all kinds of questions from anybody on the team. So I think that would be fun for each of the directors to have, just like they would in your meeting, have a chance to run our meeting and really, you know, kind of present what they're doing and ask a lot of questions, a kind of a coaching session for them.
Rob?
Yes.
Can we please have access to the audio transcripts to listen to either individually or collectively from prior?
Sure.
Okay. I think that would help. I know it's going to help me. It might even help people that are just coming in for the first time to go back and listen to the stumble throughs that we made on our initial attempt.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, you guys can, you know, be as creative as you want in terms of your use of me. You know, Trent, you might say one week I want to just be with you privately, and somebody else might say the same thing. So that's okay, too.
I'm
not stuck with anything. I think we want to be a little more flexible than just simply going through, you know, 12 weeks and then, you know, the 9 more weeks. I think I'd rather do it every other week and hold you guys accountable to some goals and for each of the 5 stars and, you know, give me some feedback on how you're doing in each of the areas. And then I think that would be, you know, really effective. Accountability is the answer to success in anything. And, you know, that's why we have personal trainers. We know how to do the exercises, but the accountability of a personal trainer keeps us on track and really makes us perform at the level that we should when we want to get lazy. So that's what a coach can do for you. Okay?
Very good. Thank you.
Yep.
Good. Yeah. This will be fun.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Start. Okay.
Thank
you're welcome.
You.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
We're going to hang on the call. See you later, Rob.
I'm here.
So in general, I mean, I really think. Okay. In general, I think the roles are pretty important. I guess Taryn didn't call in. I don't know how. You didn't have the number, John. I apologize about that. So, but I think like by Friday, let's kind of get our roles together because I think that's kind of the key. It's not about getting rid of clients. This is about running running like a real true business and the real focus. And I'm not a big DISC fan, Steve, and I use it, you know, when I was getting my MBA.
I think we already got the answer to that. He said if you want to do a psychological profile down the road, go ahead and do it.
And
I don't care which one we do, but I think what we need to do is have a more enlightened approach to communication.
Maybe that can be part of more as we do more meetings and stuff. You know, at some point we're going to have a meeting out of the office where we all go somewhere. Maybe that's just like an activity we do somewhere when we go. You know, hopefully we you know, get along, grow this very well, and we're having, you know, truly like a firm retreat kind of thing at some point in time. That would be my ultimate goal. And you know, I think the problem is metrics. How do you do metrics for one role versus another role, and how do you, you know, that, and I think that there's a bunch of, you know, metrics. Is it, you know, volunteering on a board counts as points, you know, outreach, how many in assets did you bring in? We got to like kind of come up with these metrics that we're all measuring, but measuring together, not just measuring by ourselves. So it's exciting stuff. I mean, I really think that this is the key to the teamwork is going to be our, you know, we got to decide, do we want to be slaves to this job or do we want to really come together as a team, run this like a team and make this the most organized team that's out there. And I think if we do that, then it's really, like he said, it's going to be hard to compete with us in the business world, especially once we know each other's stories. Any other negative feedback? Because I think that there was some hesitation maybe out there. I hate to go straight to the negative, but there's always something where you're like, that didn't make sense to me.
No, I think if I didn't, I mean, and I already sent my notes out to the team, so you're going to come back. But I think he nailed one important thing. The best teams are those with very different personalities and very good communications. And the very worst teams are the ones that have very different personalities and crappy communication. I think that we've already gotten rid of somebody who liked to insult us at every turn. And I think that now we can handle somebody saying, you know, if you do this, would you be willing to consider doing it this way instead of that way? I think the future is very bright because it's like all the mistakes that could have been made in communication have been attempted. They haven't all been completed.
Well, I think having the regular meetings is going to help us with our communication because I do think that a lot of times we just assume that the other people, you know what they're doing or know what I'm doing, and that's not necessarily the best approach. So I don't know if you want to think about having, you know, at some point, do we need to have two meetings a week? I don't know. I feel like two is a lot right now.
I don't have two sit-down meetings, but maybe we do have maybe a Tuesday 10-minute roundup or something.
Yeah,
it's a quick 10. I don't think we need to have, but it can be Tuesday morning, quick 10-minute call or something like that. Mm-hmm. Here's what's happened since Friday. Here's what's going on. Here's the people coming in this week. Can somebody help me with this person coming in? I think more of those kind of things might not be a bad idea. But let's not go from, death by meeting either. Let's just have our Friday meeting, and then we'll discuss that a little bit more on Friday. But I think by Friday, the objective is bring some team names to the table. We'll discuss it. And bring, what role do you really see yourself in the five-star model?
Yeah.
And then maybe if
people can think of, an overall sort of purpose and, like Rob was saying, have some sort of a purpose statement.
Yeah.
In the back of your mind, too.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right, I got to bounce. I hate to bounce out of here. I said keep time afterwards, but it's just, it's silly times with callbacks right now. So,
Sean sent me an email. He's going to help me get some more information on segmenting the book a little bit, maybe a little bit easier with his information. So I'll let you know what I get.
Okay. Okay, great.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Talk to you Friday.
Bye.